Blog Talk Radio.
Different people text me wanting different things.
I know that we left off in Exodus chapter 2, and I think we sort of went off of, we sort of got off script last session. I think I actually deleted it, so that because we were talking about things that just probably shouldn't be on the air. I think I deleted that one, but when we stopped the last one that I have recorded, we were talking about the wives of the brothers, the sons, and you know their lineage, who they you know whether they were Shemite or Hamite. We talked about that the Hebrews were probably not in slavery, but about 80 some odd years. That the Assyrian king that had taken over Egypt, he probably did that sometime between the birth of Moses and Aaron. There's a three-year difference there, a three-year gap. So I was looking to see where I wanted to take it this morning, and we're probably just going to go start in Exodus chapter 3 and keep it moving. But before we start, we'll pray in and do our the necessary. And I'm going to ask Sister Rachel this morning to pray us in. I'm going to do the statement of faith, and I'm going to ask you, my sister, to pray us in. Is that okay?
Shalom.
Shalom. Is that okay with you, Sister Rachel?
You want me to just pray?
Yeah, just pray for us. When I ask you to, just go ahead and just pray for us.
Sure, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Prayer is something we all should be, doing?
Yeah.
Amen.
And I know that you just pray. And, you know, I ain't got to do it all. And it's got nothing to do with teaching or authority. You should be able to pray. We should be able to pray for anybody, right?
Amen.
So, you know, I don't want it, you know, anybody try to, you know, don't get it twisted or anything. I'm not asking you to take authority or anything like that. Just simply asking you to pray. So let's do our statement of faith. And let me pull it up here. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of different things, and you know me, just always doing something. And so I was working on the website, and for some reason, my router wouldn't allow traffic through to the website, and it wouldn't show me the settings. And no matter what I did, I couldn't get it fixed, so I just pulled up, you know, I usually save my configuration, and I pulled up a backup configuration that was really old and loaded it, and then was able to get back into my router and to, you know, point it back at the website, but then my text was on my phone stopped. I didn't know. My cameras, you know, my security cameras around my house stopped, didn't know. So I sort of just got up this morning and said, you know, let me just review the lesson from last week, and we'll just pick up from there. So let me have you ladies to cover your heads, and anybody else that comes on, I will open up their mics as they join. Let me have you ladies to cover your heads. Let me welcome everybody to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I'm Brother Miles. This is a spiritual wellness, and this is really designed that we deal with, you know, the issues, current and past issues of our people, Israel, and it's focused around Israel. You know, I understand all peoples have problems, whether they be Hebrew Israelite or Jews, or Hebrew Israelite or Gentiles, and doesn't matter. People are people. And we suffer and we go through some of the same things, even, you know, even though we may cause some people to have issues, and some things are related to, you know, past experiences, past history. This ministry in this particular day is really dedicated to the Hebrew Israelite. because we suffer, and I did this intentionally, we suffer from some things that are related to our slavery, things that we brought with us out of slavery, things that, you know, our ancestors put on us. And, you know, I'm not addressing any particular problem per se. As I've told you this before, once I started looking at root causes, it seems that, you know, the real answer for us spiritually is to return to who? The Most High, period. Just do what he asked us to do, and all the stuff will start going away. And so we're not addressing any particular topic unless somebody has a question. Right now we're talking about Black history in the Bible, but this day is dedicated to the Hebrew Israelite and the issues really that, you know, we suffer from as a people. So I want everybody to understand, and even those who listen online, understand that this is not to cut anybody else short or say, you know, other people don't have problems. But I, the Most High sent me to our people. I know who gave me, the, you know, make the call to our people and to help us to get past these problems that we have. And the truth of the matter is we just need to return to him. That's the whole thing. Fear him and return to him and do what he says to do. And, you know, he will help us. So can we address specific issues? Yes. We can still do that, and I still have to, you know, certain topics that I want to bring up. But understand that even if you're a Gentile, you know, a lot of the things that we cover will still help the average everyday person. Because we're not the only ones going through it. It's just that a lot of the things, a lot of the spiritual issues that we have are because of what our forefathers did and the things that we brought with us out of slavery that are still plaguing us today. And a lot of it is, you know, societal, whether it's institutionalized racism or it's, you know, our insecurities. Whatever the case may be, it needs to be dealt with, and at one time or another, we will deal with it. But just know that salvation is to everyone. But, you know, when we came out of slavery, nobody offered us mental health. Nobody offered us, you know, a way to pull, you know, to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We were left to be on our own and then ridiculed, you know, when we had certain issues. And our people are, when it comes to mental health, you know, we got problems with mental health as far as even accepting that we may have issues. A lot of times, if you don't know you're sick, you can't deal with what you're sick with. So if you don't know you have diabetes, you're sure not going to go start taking what, good grief. Whatever the shots are for being a diabetic, you know, and you'll suffer with that illness and the side effects of it and not really attack the root cause. And so spiritually, emotionally, financially, you know, we want to deal with those things that we suffer from today as a people. And that's what this class is designed around. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads with that being covered. Ladies, cover your head. Men, uncover your head. And let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning, because truly he's worthy. He kept us safe through the night. He didn't call us home. Gave us another day that we are able to serve him, to worship him, and if we need to repent, another day that we can repent and make things right with him. So hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you on this morning, and we thank you, Father, for keeping us safe last night. Hallelujah. For bringing us through, for allowing us and giving us a mind to worship and to serve you, Father, and we will not bow down and worship and serve any other, Father. We ask that you would be with us this morning. Whatever topic comes up, Father, let it be you that speaks. We need you to guide us. We need you to direct our path, Father, as only you can, Father. So we just thank you on this morning for everything and all that you do for us. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. So, Sister Rachel, if you go ahead and pray us in. Sisters, cover your head. Men, uncover your heads. Turn toward the east. Go ahead, my sister.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Father, for watching over us last night. We thank you, Father, for sending your angels to protect us, Father, for waking us up this morning, starting way and giving us a day, Father, for you giving us your breath. We ask you, Father, to forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive against us, Father. Father, that you will cleanse all sins. Your word says that if we draw nigh, you will draw nigh to us, Father. I ask, Father, that you will continue to keep our minds safe to you and to keep us on the right path, Father. And Father, that you will break generational off of family, off of your daughters, Father, so that we can go higher and elevate in your word, Father. I ask, Father, that you will continue to put Holy Spirit in your life, that these last your words will pour from your sons and your daughters. I ask, Father, will continue to bless those who have gone astray, who have split, bring them back to the Father, and that we will repent. I ask, Father, we will repent, Father, that we have in terms of our ways, Father. We ask, Father, in your holy presence. Amen.
All right, amen. All right, a lot of your prayer was breaking up, but and I didn't want to interrupt you, but I thank you for opening us up in prayer, my sister, and all that you asked for. I didn't want to interrupt you in your flow of your thought. What's important is that you did what I asked for, and that's what's important, that you prayed us in. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Our scripture for this morning, the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 1. Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. May the Most High bless you through the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his word, more so the doing, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. On this morning, we're just going to start in Exodus chapter 3. And the Most High is going to have to take us where he wants us to go in this. As I said, I don't have a particular precept in this, so we're going to read the scriptures, and then we're going to pull out of them what we can, and keep it moving. And I will do better on next week. Before we start, are there any questions on any previous lessons or anything that we covered, you know, at any time? Are there any questions? No?
Not yet.
All right, amen. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter 3. And we're looking at understanding that if we understand who we are as a people, then we know that this book is our history. It's our history before we came into slavery, because the world wants to tell us that, you know, our history started really when we left the continent of Africa. But this Bible is actually our history. And the Elohim, the God of the Bible, is actually our God. And so things that he caused us to forget because our forefathers were hard-headed and stiff-necked, that he has, in these last days, he's awakened his people. And some of us are awakened to some of the truth. Some of us awaken, and we will study to show ourselves approved. The biggest thing that, I guess, the most simplest message that I could ever have for anyone, especially who is a Hebrew Israelite, who understands that we are the people of the book, is that we can't make the same mistakes our forefathers made. Period. How are you going to have your history and read about the mistakes that your forefathers made, and then you make them too? That is just, to me, that's asinine. That's straight up just crazy and stupid. So, you know, you don't read about your history and believe that it's you and say, okay, well, we got the same issues, but we don't do anything about it. All right, amen? That's the simplest message I could ever give. If you know and believe that you are a Hebrew Israelite, and this is something that, because this class is focused on us as a people, then I'll speak freely to that. But, you know, it's not something that we want to tell the nations because we're not in our land, and the Most High says we cause them to, what, profane his name. But we need to know who we are as a people, and we need to understand the specific challenges that we face as a people. Our forefathers abandoned our Elohim, our God, the one who formed us. And for that, we are paying the price. And so whatever it is that he wants, that's what we need to do. And he simply tells us to repent. Turn from your wicked ways. We as a people have to apologize for what our forefathers did to the Most High. We're the only people that have to do that. Because he said, I chose you as my people, as my inheritance. So the prayer that I do, you know, as part of our Sabbath prayer, is that, you know, we ask forgiveness, and we ask for him not to hold us accountable for the sins of our forefathers. For they are all gone by the way of the grave. And we are still yet here. We won't complain. Because he says, you know, when I look at the brother saying, well, hey, let's leave and go to Israel. Let's leave and go someplace else to another country. If the Most High doesn't take us out of this, it's like coming out of your room when you've been put on punishment. Your parents, they don't come out, and you come out anyway. It's a form of what? Disobedience. So the scriptures tell us that he will not deliver us out of this captivity until he returns. So in the meantime, we need to do what it is that he says to do. And, you know, I can't speak for any of you, but even with the discrimination and the you know, the racism, the prejudice, all the stuff, the things that we go through in this country. When I look around the world, even with that, if you're doing what the Most High is telling you to do, you can still be what? Blessed. Individually. People still may be suffering, but you can individually be blessed and not have it. You may not have it as well as you could have had it, but you don't have to be suffering either and struggling. And the Most High can give us favor. But the truth of the matter, as a people, you know, as a people, most of us aren't really, we look around the world, we don't really have it that bad. And so how do you get us to want to leave up out of here? That's things that we have to consider. What is the Most High going to have to do to make us want to leave here? Because if, you know, if we are the either the ninth or the 19th largest economy, the African American, put it that way, the Hebrew, not all of us know that we're Hebrew Israelites. But if we are the 19th largest economy in the world, that and there's 206 countries, then we have it better than the majority of the world, even in these conditions of being in the land of our captors. And so just like we were in Egypt, the Most High had to send bondage, send a Pharaoh that conquered Egypt and didn't know Joseph, didn't know us as a people, and actually feared us to the point that he wanted to kill, what, the male children? They're doing that today. That's what the eugenics program was all about, you know, and the abortion clinics and things like that. But the truth of the matter is, if we were not acting, doing things that were unrighteous, if we weren't in sin, the eugenics program could never touch us because we would not be doing things that we would have to go get abortions for, male or female. We would not be doing that. So we got to understand that a lot of the things that the power that we give the enemy, we give it to the enemy because we are being disobedient. We put ourselves in those positions, and we give them power so that we'll say, "Oh, well, they're killing us this way." No, if we were acting in accordance with the way the Most High wants us to act and living the way He wants us to live, we wouldn't be doing those things, and we wouldn't be subject to it. And that's in all matters. Could they still be racist? Yes. Could they still be prejudiced? Yes. But we wouldn't really be having to deal with them that much. And so we got to understand that a lot of these things are brought on by the disobedience of our own people. And so we have to come out of this, and it has to start, you know, somewhere. And each person has to make that commitment to the Most High. So the book of Exodus, Chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. Now, we looked up Jethro. And what was Jethro's, what was he? Was he not a Kenite? Somebody can get their notes.
I'm doing, bro. Yep. Give me a minute.
Yeah, Jethro was a Kenite, but he was the priest of Midian. And the Midianites were of the seed of Keturah from Abraham. So we looked at these the last couple of weeks. Okay, Exodus chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. You know, and I always really assumed that he would be, if he's the priest of Midian, I always assumed that he would be a what? Midianite. But elsewhere it tells us he's not really a Midianite. He has moved there, and he has assimilated with these people, associated with these people, but he was a Kenite. Both of them were Shemites. And he led the flock of the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of Elohim, even Horeb. And the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when Yah saw that he turned aside to see, Elohim called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh here. Don't come close here. Don't come near here. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Elohim of thy fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And on last week, we also, I believe this was last week, we also discussed what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by what name they knew the Most High. Everybody remember that discussion?
Yes, I do.
And so by what name did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob know the Most High? What did they call him?
They called him Yah.
Mm-hmm.
You sure about that?
Nope.
Remember what he told, what did he tell Moses?
I am that I am.
I am that I am. But what name did he tell us that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob called him by? So let's get that real quick.
Yahweh?
Yahweh? No.
That's what I just said.
So, you know, we're going to always go with the what? Scripture? Okay. I need to be in Exodus, so that's where it's at. Let's go to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, and Sister Mary, if you will read verse 3.
Verse 3, Exodus 6. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of Yeshua Almighty. But by my name they didn't, Yeshua, I can't say it with the Y. Jehovah.
And you got to leave that God there. You can't change God because God is not a name.
Right.
You can put his name there.
He did not know me by God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them.
So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob called him God Almighty.
Jehovah.
Right?
Yes.
Nope. So let me read this for you again, and let's read it slowly. Okay.
I didn't put God on my notes. My bad.
Amen. And if you got it wrong in your notes, you correct your notes.
Yes, sir.
I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of Elohim Almighty, God Almighty. That's what they called him. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, only thing they knew him as is the Almighty.
Gotcha.
He never told them his name. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Because, you know, let's see if we go back up here. hold on. I believe, oh, wait a minute. What am I doing? Scrolling and I'm not even in the book. In another place, when the Most High is sending Moses in, Moses asked the Most High, the people are going to ask me what your name is, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Moses, my name is I Am That I Am. Yahashem Bashem, Yahayah Bashem Hayah. I Am That I Am. But he tells us in chapter 6 that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob only knew him by Almighty.
Right.
So what name are the children of Israel looking for? What name are their descendants looking for? Because Moses worried about what name I'm going to tell you who's sending me. If Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob only knew him by the Almighty, what name could the children of Israel know him by?
God Almighty.
That's right.
Nope.
That's the only thing they
would have
known.
Okay. I was thinking about him.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I thought it was I Am Who I Am. Because that's what he told him to tell
him. I Am is a declaration. And in the English, it's translated to I Am, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
The name, because remember, we are doing a translation from the Hebrew to the English.
Okay.
And so they translated Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H, Hayah, as I Am.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
That's what they did. The Hebrew word is Hayah. H-A-Y-A-H. What name do you hear in Hayah?
Jehovah.
Hallelujah.
You hear Yah. Ha-Yah.
Yah.
You hear Yah. Okay. But when they translated it to the English, they said, I am. That I am.
Gotcha.
Okay, we got that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And amen. So when he was talking to Moses, he said, hey, your forefathers only knew me as Elohim Almighty, God Almighty. That's how they knew me. So what other name could the children of Israel know? If Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't know his name, what name could Moses bring to them that they would know?
Almighty.
Just the Almighty. Right, that's all he could bring to them. They could have known anything else because their forefathers didn't know anything else. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Yes. Perfect sense.
Okay. So he asked the Most High, you know, the children of Israel are going to ask you what your name is. What shall I tell them? And he makes a statement. I am that I am. In the English. Hayah, haben, hayah. But as a statement of his existence. Since his name also describes who he is. Because Hebrew names have meanings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his name Yah, or Jehovah, really means I exist that I exist. I'm the self-existent one.
Gotcha.
That's what his name means. So they gave you the definition of his name, but not his actual what?
Name.
Yeah. And they do that a lot in the scriptures, okay? Because remember, we're coming from the Hebrew or the Greek into the English. And because the Hebrew word has a specific meaning, and they're trying to translate that over into the English to make you understand what's going on, you know, in context. But then you have to have the Most High to actually show, to reveal some things to you that even though this is what they were trying to do, they kind of did it wrong. So it'd be like me saying, calling, if your name means wonderful one, and I call you wonderful one rather than your name, I call you what your name means. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that's what they did. They didn't actually use his name. They used what his name means. This word means this in the Hebrew. So he said this. Instead of putting his actual name, the Hebrew, Yah, Hayah, they translated it to what it meant in the English, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Really, it's a form of anything that, really, it's a form of B-E. Anything been, is, was. That's why he says, I am the first and I am the last. I am past, present, and what?
Future.
As a statement of being. Because he's not in time. The Most High is not in time. Time is only relative to us. Think about that. He's not in time. Time doesn't affect him. So right now, the Most High, because of who he is and what he is, because of his nature, he could be still talking to you right now when you were 3 years old. And here we are 60, 70 years old. But he's dealing with us when we were 3. Because he's past. Then he can be dealing with us right now, present. And we haven't reached the future yet. But he's already there. So he can be dealing with you whatever age that you live to. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
That's what his name means. I am past, present, and future. I exist. I am not in time like you're in time. That's why I can tell you the end from the beginning, because I am in the end and in the beginning at the same time. So I can tell you what's going to happen, because I'm already there. But I'm also in the past. And the past, when it says the past, it's the past, but it's the present for him. It's just a matter of time. It's like, okay, let's look at it like this, if I can explain it like this. Look at your life as a videotape, as like a DVD. Can you fast forward into the DVD?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
And when you stop, whatever time you stop at, that's the present, right? I'm presently
right.
At 2% of the DVD. That's the present in this DVD. But there's another hour and a half, so I can go into the future, an hour into the DVD, and I'm still in the same movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I can rewind and go what? Back to a past part of the DVD?
Right.
The Most High has the ability to do that with our lives. As little as you know, as little as we know, we have already died. The Most High, he said, our life is as what to him?
A speck of dust.
Like a puff of smoke, right?
Mm-hmm.
You hear but a minute and you're gone. But we haven't lived it yet. So when the Most High gives you a blessing, he says, I already spoke that blessing into your life. You just got to catch up to it.
Amen.
It's already been spoken. I've already been into the future. I already spoke this blessing into your life or this curse. Now, the time that I spoke it, for it to come into existence, you just have to catch up with it. When the time comes for it to come to pass, it's going to come to pass. You just haven't lived it yet. Make sense, everyone?
Yes, it does.
That's what his name means. I exist that I exist. I am that I am. That's the best that they could do it, but then that's the best that they could put it in the English. But when you study it out and you study the other names that he gives himself, I am the self-existent one. I always have been. I always will be. I don't have a past. I don't have a future because it doesn't apply to me. I'm already in the future, whatever that is. If it's 2 trillion years from now, I'm already what?
Already there.
There. And I can tell you what's going to happen then. So I already made what I wanted. I made the end. Who can complete this? I made the end from what?
Beginning.
The beginning.
Beginning. I know what I wanted. I made it. And then I've made all those things to bring it about. And I gave it a time to happen. So the end of the world has already happened. The end of the world has got to catch up to when the Most High said it would happen. That's how powerful the Elohim that we serve. I'm not in time. It doesn't apply to me. There is no time limit on my life. I have always been what? Eternal. And what I'm promising you is to make you what?
Eternal.
And that's what we have to understand as his people. He's promising to make us eternal, where time does not have any effect on us. If you could never die, think about this. If you couldn't die, how many things could you get done?
Oh, my goodness. A lot of stuff.
If there was no time limit on your life, then we would have a problem because now we got to figure out what we're going to do with all this time. We can't perceive of it the way that he does. You know, it's like a rich person. Let's say a billionaire. They would be hard pressed if they spent money every day like crazy to spend their $1 billion. They just couldn't do it. And yet and still, for a person that don't have money, then money is a big deal. But for a billionaire, money's not a big deal. Didn't have the same meaning. Doesn't have the same effect. I can get whatever I want. I can buy whatever I want. I want an island, go buy it. They can buy everything but what?
Time.
Time, exactly. And they're trying to work on that. So understand when we look at the Hebrew name and we look at the name of the, he says, I'm the Almighty, that says something within itself, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
There is nothing more powerful, nothing and no one more powerful or that has more authority than me. You can't go beyond me. You don't like what I'm doing? You can't appeal to nobody else. I'm the highest. Ain't nobody going to come and deliver you from me. If I want whatever I want from you, if I want it, ain't nobody deliver you out of my hand. So we're not believing him for how he's describing himself to us. And he said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They simply knew me as Elohim Almighty. They knew me as the Most High. And they probably still didn't comprehend what that actually all meant. Just think about this. What kind of power would it take? Oh, let's do it this way. When the Most High caused the sun to go backwards in the sky. Did he move the sun or did he move the earth?
Okay, I'm just gonna take a wild guess here. I think he moved the earth.
I'm going to take a wild guess. I'm going to say the sun.
Okay, and what's your guess, Sister Mary?
The earth.
He moved the earth because the earth travels around the what?
The sun.
Okay.
The sun is not actually moving across the sky. It's the earth moving and rotating, and it makes the sun appear that it's moving across the sky. But if he really wanted to affect it, if he wanted to move the sun backwards in the sky, then he would have to move the earth. What being do we know that has that kind of power?
None that I know of.
Nobody that we know of got that kind of power.
Nope.
Every day, think about this. The system that he put into place. Every day. How many people are in the world today?
Ooh, wait, let me see.
Trillions and trillions.
No, not quite that many. We'd be in trouble. I'd really be in trouble.
About 70 million or something like that. More than that.
We're in the
billions.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think we're just a little bit past 7 billion people. But do we even have a concept of what 7 billion is?
Not at all. I don't.
Yeah,
I know it's a lot.
These things, you know, the numbers don't make sense unless you have some type of what? Ideal of what it represents. So we can understand $1,000, right?
Right.
So $1,000. We can perceive of that because we've probably seen it before. But if we wanted $1 million, we'd have to have $1,000 1,000 times. That's 1 million.
Correct.
And if we wanted $1 billion, we would have to have $1,000 1,000 million times. A million, million. 1,000 million is 1 billion. So when we're looking at what the Most High, what he claims to do and who he is, then we have to have something to compare it to. But understand that he tells us that he's not in time. Time is only relative to the sun and the moon and the stars and all that. That was for us. Really has nothing to do with him. Don't affect him. He's not affected by, you know, a day going by. That's why when Daniel was praying to him, he said, "Hey, I answered your prayer right away." But then it took 21 days for the answer to get there because there was a battle. But to the Most High, what's 21 days? Let's put this in perspective. You're the Most High, and you say in your time, if we want to have any type of rationale about time, you say one day to us is 24 hours, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but in my time, one day is 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So what's 21 days in 1,000 years? That's like a blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
What's 70 years in comparison to 1,000 years.
Mm.
So if we live to be 70 years old, did we get anywhere near close to one day of the Most High?
No.
No.
You were here a couple of seconds as far as I was concerned.
Right.
I saw you, you were there, and then you were gone. So for him to even pay attention to us, think about this. For him to even pay attention to us, We got to mean, we got to be something special to him.
Man.
Who in here worries about the steam that comes off the stove when they're cooking?
Nobody.
You eat it, and then you what? You sit and then you don't, right?
I have, because I burnt my hand cooking.
Amen. Well, you don't have to touch it, right?
I do.
But as far as worrying about that steam that came up when you're cooking, once it comes up and leaves the pot, you see it, and then it's what? Gone?
Gone.
Do you worry about it after that?
No.
Do you wonder what was happening to the steam while you could see it? We don't consider those things because it doesn't mean anything to us. So why should we mean anything to the Most High?
Ooh.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It does that give you a different perspective?
Yeah.
So the fact that he does, the fact that he can name each one of us, the fact that he can tell us things about our lives, it has to tell you that, number one, just how powerful and how great he is, but also it has to tell you how much he actually really does love us, because we could be like that. He says we're like that thing, that smoke. We were here and then we were gone. He didn't, you know, if he didn't pay no attention to us, it, you know, it would be like we were never here. And see, that's what a lot of men fight with, their mortality. They want to be known after their death. They want somebody to know that they were what? Here.
They were here.
But even when we do stuff in history, really the only people that are going to remember us are people who were either close to us or for historical purpose some kind of way. They read about us, and then they have a knowledge of us, but they really didn't know us. Other than that, everybody else, we were here, and we never were.
Mm. Yes.
You know, when we pass, who's going to remember that we were ever here?
Mm.
And when your children die, who's going to remember that you were ever here?
Mm.
Okay.
So we got to understand that for him to say, I know you, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and I know you after, and no matter how many years go by, I'm going to resurrect you. You went to dust. I still have the ability to call you back
and
reconstitute. Huh?
And people don't fear him.
Because they ain't got good sense.
I don't understand that.
They don't have good sense. If they don't fear a being like that, they don't really don't have, they don't have understanding. That's why the verses that we read, he says, give me what? Understanding, and I will keep your law. Give me understanding. If I know who you are, what you can do. But if I ain't got no clue about who you are, I'm not going to have any natural fear of you. So, you know, what the Most High says. Let's continue in this. Back to Exodus chapter 3. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew him by what name?
Jehovah.
Almighty.
The Almighty. Amen. The Almighty. Didn't know his name. He simply called him the Almighty. Moses is getting ready to walk up on this bush. He sees this bush, and this bush is on fire. So as we're doing this as a study of history, I also like to, you know, bring out other things that are here. Moses sees this bush on fire, but the bush is not what?
Consumed.
Yeah, it's not consumed. It's not burning up. If we light something on fire, does the fire consume it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Yes.
the ashes.
Okay, so if we were to see something like this, what Moses just saw, we would be, I know we would have just as much curiosity. Let me turn aside and go look at this thing. I see this bush burning. Ain't no smoke coming off of it. It's not being eroded away, ate up by the fire. Let me go look at this. And then you hear a voice. Call your name. You know, I'm not a scary man, but I would be afraid.
You and me too.
I probably would pass out.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, and I've never fainted in my life, but I probably would pass out.
Amen. Let's go to verse 4. And when Yah saw that he turned aside to see, Elohim called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Now, this is something that we really have to, and we really have to study, because really who Moses is talking to, he's not talking to the Most High directly. Anybody know who he's talking to? I guess we'll have to find out.
I guess we will, but I always thought he was talking to the Most High.
Yeah, he is not talking to the Most High.
Because that's what I thought. He was talking to the Most High.
Well, we'll let the scriptures tell us, okay?
I want to say, I can't say him either.
Let's see if it's going to tell us if it's going to say it in this chapter. Let's see. Hold on just a minute. We're coming down to what we read last week. Give me a hot second. Let me see how far we got to read till we read this.
The Almighty?
The Almighty is the Most High.
Yeah, I know what.
Well, if it's not him, it's got to be either Gabriel or Michael.
You know, he doesn't actually ever really tell us.
Oh, okay.
Let's go back up to, we were already told, let's go back up to, we're in Exodus chapter 3, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to verse 1. Let me have everybody go back to verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of Elohim, even to Horeb.
Okay,
verse,
I got you.
Who appeared to him in the flame?
Angel.
The angel.
All right. And who's talking to him?
The angel.
That could be the angel.
It's the angel. It's the angel of Yah, the messenger of Yah. But he's for Yah.
Thank you, Brother Miles.
We, you know, just little things that we need to what? Pick out of there?
Yeah.
We just can't read over words. The angel of Yah appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Talking as Yah. That's why when you read some of these verses, you're going to say, why did that verse read that way? And the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses says, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Now it says, and when Yah saw it, but this is an angel of Yah that Yah uses. And I really believe that this is a form that Yah appears in, a form that he can deal with man.
Ooh, gotcha.
Because the scripture tells us if we met him in his true form, he would have to kill us. His nature is to kill us because we're sinful. His nature is to destroy sin. So he has to appear to us in a form that he won't act out his nature. Hear that.
So that's why
I appear before you in my true form, I would consume you.
That's why he only let Moses see his backside.
That's right. Because if you see my face, my glory, Moses, I'm going to have to consume you.
Ooh.
And when Yah saw that he turned aside to see Elohim, unto him out of the midst of the bush, he said, Moses. Now, everything that this angel, this messenger, because an angel is a what? Messenger. And this angel that is the angel of Yah, the angel of the Lord in your book, the angel of Yah, the messenger of Yah, he speaks as though he's Yah. So how could we look at that today? How could we kind of equate that? This angel is like almost like a robot. I don't want to call him because it's a different type of being. But if we were trying to equate it to something natural, if we're trying to equate it to something natural, If we had our webcams on, our web cameras on, and we could see each other and we could talk to each other, but you didn't know that yours was on and I started talking to you, you might think it's your computer talking to you. I'm just making this up, but you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
So this being talks on behalf of the Most High, and the Most High uses this being, this angel, and he's able to see everything and communicate everything through this angel. And this angel talks as though he is him. So it's like the Most High is manifesting himself as this angel. As close as I can get to it in the scripture.
Like a hologram?
Like a hologram. But I'm able to manifest myself in a form that I can deal with you directly and not have to consume you.
Gotcha.
Because if I appear to you in my natural form, I would have to consume you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
So you hear a lot about the angel of, in the scripture, the angel of the Lord. But anytime you see the angel of the Lord or the angel of Yah, he talks as Yah. And all the power of Yah is within him. That's why he tells Israel, obey the voice of the angel. Even the one that came down and dealt with Israel and sent fire from, you know, came out and took and burnt up the, you know, the sacrifice on the altar. It was an angel. And who was leading them through the wilderness?
An angel.
It was the same angel. But when you read the scriptures, if you don't pay attention to detail, you think it is Yah himself. But it appears to me in the scriptures that this angel that speaks for Yah, that has all the power and authority of Yah. Yah tells you, he told Israel to obey his voice because he has my name in him. Let's get that so that we understand. Let me find this verse so we understand who and what we're dealing with here.
Amen.
Thank you.
Give me a hot second because I wasn't planning on looking this up. Let's go to Exodus chapter 23. And let me see where it identifies this at. Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 23. We're going to start in verse 20. And when everybody has it, say amen.
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 All right. Behold, let me have Sister Denise to read this.
Behold, I send an angel before you, thy to keep thee in the way, and to bring them unto the place which I have prepared.
Keep going. Mm-hmm.
Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not, what's that word?
Your he will not pardon.
What's that word? Pardon your transgression, for my name is in him.
Amen.
Keep going.
Verse 22.
Okay. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto their enemies and an adversary unto their adversary.
Verse 23.
For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto an Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Canaanite, the Hephthite and
mm-hmm.
the Jebusite, and I will cut them off. Thou
so
shalt
I'm
going
to do this, but who did he send?
The angel.
It's an angel. The angel of the Lord in your book, the angel of Yah. And he acts with all the authority of Yah.
Hmm.
He says, obey his voice, for he shall not pardon your transgressions. You mess up, this angel's going to get you. But the angel talks as though he is the Most High himself. Did we catch that?
Yes.
So you're dealing with an angel 99.99% of the time. And you, I've showed you this, so now when you read certain scriptures, you're going to pick up on it. Wait a minute. That's the angel talking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've also showed you that angels ain't always from heaven. I've showed you guys that before, right?
Yeah.
I've showed you that angels can also be what? People. But this angel, this is who's talking to Moses. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's go back to Exodus chapter 3. Now, I'm going to, you know, and this is just for our learning, so that we have understanding in the scriptures, and we understand how the Most High works. I told you, when we consider who the Most High is, what are we?
Nothing.
We're nothing. He won't even deal with us directly. He deals with us through an angel.
Yeah. Thank you.
And this angel has all his power and all his authority. Okay. Verse 6. So we're reading this with the understanding that Moses is dealing with an angel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's look and see how this angel talks. And when Yah saw. Now, the Most High has to be looking through the eyes of this angel, because now it's like you're dealing directly with the Most High. And when Yah saw that he turned aside, Elohim called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. As far as Moses is concerned, who is he dealing with?
Most High.
Yeah.
He's dealing with the Most High, yeah. But who is he seeing?
The angel.
He's seeing the angel.
An angel.
He's actually seeing the burning bush.
Right. He's looking at the angels in the burning bush. And speaking from him from there.
Okay.
And he said, draw not nigh here. Don't come close to here, but off thy shoes, put off thy shoes. Off thy feet, for the place whereupon thy stand is this holy ground. Now, let's ask another question here. Another what-if question. Why is this holy ground?
Because the angel and the Father is there.
The presence of the Most High is there, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not really there. Who's there? It's the angel, right?
The angel.
Mm-hmm.
It's representative.
His representative. But he represents the Most High, so he's also what, holy? You think he can be in the presence of the Most High and not be holy?
No.
That's why he says, my holy what? Angel. And this is where some people get mixed up with the Holy Spirit. Because Elohim himself is a spirit, and he created spirit. That's why it's important that we understand when he says, I'm going to pour, when he says, my spirit, when he personalizes it, he identified that this was an angel he was dealing with, right?
Right.
Because there's times that he's dealing with us through an angel, and there's times that he's dealing with us directly. When he pours out his spirit on us, he's not pouring out the spirit of an angel on us.
No.
He's pouring out his spirit. But then when he deals with us, he may deal with us through an angel. And I manifest myself to you. And here's my messenger. And this particular messenger, he's always identified as the messenger of Yah. Now, we're told Gabriel does that, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
that Gabriel will come and give a message. But Gabriel will never say, when you look at what Gabriel says and look at how he talks, he never talks like this angel. Gabriel never talks as the Most High. Let's go there. Let's prove this. Go to Luke chapter 1. I want you to, and we can go some other place, but I want you to take a note as how this angel that meets Mary, and I want you to look at the words that are used, okay?
Yah sent me.
As far as he's concerned, it's the Most High talking, right?
Right.
Go to Luke chapter 1. And are words important?
Yes, they
yes, it is.
And it's the little words that are important, because little words we just read right over. So before you go to put your finger on Luke chapter 1, I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 3. I want you to pick up on a word before we move go here, okay? And in verse 3, and Sister Lorraine, if I can get you to read Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. If you have your Bible with you,
just a minute.
Maybe
I'm
on the road.
I'm trying to get there. Just a moment.
Okay. Because words are important, okay?
You said Exodus 3, verse 2?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And the angel of the Lord appeared
stop
unto
right
him
there.
In a flame.
Now hold on. Stop right there. Which angel? Is this an angel or the angel?
The angel.
The angel.
Underline that. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. We just read the angel of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
And let's go to Luke chapter 1. Let's get verse 11. And Sister Rachel, let me have you to read verse 11.
All right. Luke chapter 1, verse 11.
Uh-huh.
And there appeared.
I got it.
And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing
stop.
On the right side.
Stop right. What type of angel appeared? Was it the angel of the Lord or an angel of the Lord?
An angel.
But in Exodus, it was the angel
the
of the
angel.
Lord, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between the and an?
An angel is like an angel that he told to go. The angel is like
the
appointed.
Say that again.
I don't know. I'm just throwing this out. I'm just guessing. An angel is like
right.
someone who...
Yeah, but I couldn't
that,
hear what you said.
Oh, I said maybe to me when it says an angel, it's like an angel that he told to go. The angel is the one that was appointed.
Okay.
Can I try to answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I said, when it said an angel, it was the one he sent. The angel is him himself.
Exactly. The has to do with always with the original, the first. And the angel of the Lord always speaks as though he is the Most High himself. Why? Because he is. He's just in a form that he can deal with us. But the Most High made other angels, right?
Yeah.
He made other spirits. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 11 for you, and I want you to pay attention to the wording and watch how this angel speaks, okay? Because the angel of the Lord speaks it as Yah himself.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how this angel speaks, okay? And there appeared unto him an angel of Yah standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And when thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of Yah. Did he shall say he shall be great in my sight?
Nope.
No.
No.
He shall be great in the sight of Yah, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost?
The Father.
The Father.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice that it uses the there. It doesn't say and Holy Ghost, does it?
No.
Mm-mm.
Now, you know that are angels spirits? Can angels be spirits?
Mm-hmm.
They are ministering spirits. Yes.
Can they be holy?
Yes, they can.
Yes.
So they can be an Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
But they can't be what?
The Holy Spirit. The angel. The Holy Spirit.
See the difference?
Mm-hmm.
So the angel of the Lord is the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he's in a form that he can deal with us in.
And
I'm coming to you as a message. Huh?
An angel is his messenger.
Yeah, and it can be a messenger. It can be a killer. He can be whatever the Most High sent him for.
Right.
Hmm.
Okay. But when we're talking about the angel of the Lord, then
the Most High.
Everywhere where you look, does this angel talk like he's the Most High in John chapter 1?
No.
I mean in Luke chapter 1?
No. No.
Does he say, and he shall be filled with my spirit?
No.
Even from
no.
his mother's womb?
No.
No.
That he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost.
Right. There's another spirit that he's talking about, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down. Start in verse 18, and go ahead and continue to read in verse 18, Sister Lorraine. No, actually, who was reading that? Was that Sister Rachel?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Sister Rachel. Continue in verse 18.
Amen. Verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of Yah.
So who is this angel?
Gabriel,
and he's just an angel, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he's not. He's not the angel of Yah.
Right.
He's an angel, just like Michael, Raphael, the archangels. They are also Holy Spirit, but they are not who? The Holy Spirit. They're not the Spirit that created them. Gabriel didn't create himself. Michael didn't create himself. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay, so these are, and that's why when we are reading this, it's important that we make distinctions. That's why a lot of people can't get filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, because they don't even know the difference between an holy angel and the holy angel, the angel of Yah.
Mm-hmm.
They can't distinguish that. The angel of Yah is really Yah himself, but he's in a form that he can deal with us.
Because
if he came in his natural form, he says, I got to consume you. My nature is to consume sin, to destroy sin. Let's go to Revelation. Gabriel is a heavenly angel, and he resides around the throne of the Most High. He's one of the seven spirits that resides around the throne of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
But he don't talk as the Most High. He talks like a messenger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go to Revelation chapter 20. 21, I believe.
Is it 20?
Maybe it's 22. Hold on a second. Let me find where I want to go. All right, let me find this verse. I know it's in chapter, I'm skimming too fast. No, it's not 21 and 9. I think I'm just reading right over it. Let me go to 22 then. Um, Yes, in chapter, it's actually in Revelation chapter 22. Go to Revelation chapter 22. And Mary, if you start reading at verse 8.
And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And what I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And he said unto me.
Stop there. Uh-oh. Stop there for a second. He fell down at the feet of, he says, the angel, right?
The angel.
Yep.
But let's see who this angel is. Keep reading in verse 9.
And he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren of the prophets, and of them that which keep the sayings of the book, worship God.
So who is this angel?
They didn't say his name, but
a messenger,
a fellow servant.
He's a man.
Mm-hmm.
Then saith he unto me, see that thou do it not, for I am of thy fellow what?
Servant.
Of thy brethren.
Okay.
The prophet. I'm one of you. This is a man. Don't bow down to me. I am not the Most High. Don't bow down to me. Worship who?
Worship God.
Elohim.
But you're going to find any time that they deal with the angel of the Lord, he accepts worship.
Man.
Which would be what? Illegal, right?
Right.
Yeah, to worship an angel.
If he ain't the Most High, that's illegal.
Yeah.
So this is a man that's a messenger. That's why he says, be careful when you entertaining people because you may be entertaining angels unaware. We think of heavenly beings. We think of heavenly beings when we hear that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the angel of the Most High, the messenger of the Most High, can also be a what?
Person.
Man.
A man.
A prophet.
He can be a man. That's why you have to be careful who you talk to and how you talk to them.
Hmm.
Because they can be representing the Most High. And when you're dealing with them, you're dealing with the Most High, but you're not going to worship them like you worship the Most High. But you better respect them like you respect the Most High. Did I lose anyone?
No, you didn't.
Okay. So, do you see how easy it is for people to get mixed up in this? It's easy to get the wrong message. It's easy to get who's talking wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to not realize who you're dealing with. When I was the armor bearer for my pastor, the last pastor I was under, when I was his armor bearer, and, you know, I asked the Most High, I saw, you know, what he was under, and I asked him, I said, well, who ministers to the pastor? And we hadn't had this conversation yet. Hadn't had a conversation of me being his armor bearer. And the next day he comes and asks me to be his armor bearer. But, you know, I was looking at him like, I see the weight that's on his shoulder. Who ministers to him? Because I'm thinking like it's his wife or, you know, the Most High has somebody else that ministers. He says, no, it's going to be you. And then the Most High gave me the understanding. When I'm in him and I'm always in him, when I'm dealing with the people, my presence is there. They can't approach me like him. They can't approach him like an ordinary man. And this is where a lot of people get confused. Because I would, you know, tell him, and it took him a minute to get it. He would give a message, and I would still see and feel the presence of the Most High on him, and people would come up and want to talk and shake hands with him, and then there was times I'd say, no, you can't do that. And the first time I did that, he got upset. But then he realized that the Most High had given me that ability. And that when the Most High was still on him, you're dealing with holiness. You're dealing with the Most High, and you don't want to get sick because you don't understand who you're dealing with. You see a man. So didn't I tell you guys, I tell us all the time, that we are the tabernacle? And that the Most High says, if I dwell in you, who has to be in us? The Most High. I'm going to pour out my spirit. And when you're dealing with somebody, you're looking at and seeing that you're dealing with an individual, but the spirit that you're dealing with may not be that man. You may be dealing with the Most High. That's why he tells you to be careful. Because you might be entertaining angels. And those angels, really, who do they work for, number one? They work for the Most High, right? But if it's the spirit of the Most High that's in you, and you're dealing, and I'm dealing with you, Do I have to be able to discern if I'm dealing with you, the person, if I'm dealing with the Spirit of the Most High? That's why you have to be careful. And when the Most High gave me the title, I didn't take this title. He gave me the title of angel. Not something that I ever took on myself. It's what he caused other people to call me. And it's how he allows me to speak for him. I speak on his behalf. And there'll be times that I will speak as though I am him. You might look at me like I'm stupid. You crazy. Because who do you see? You see the man. So understand that. Got to be careful. Even when I'm dealing with you, the Most High just don't feel one person. Now, it's be honest. Is this strange to you, what I'm saying? If it is, just say yes.
No.
No, not really, Brother Miles, because sometimes he can give a message to Sister Denise to give to me.
Amen. He can use whoever he wants to, right?
So it's not strange to me.
All right, amen. So we have to understand this. That's why we have to be careful how we treat one another.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Brother Miles.
Yes, be careful what we say. That's why we're supposed to have, do you think the Most High hates himself?
No.
No.
And that's why we have to have love one for another. If we got his spirit, we're loving ourselves but loving him at the same time by loving each other. He's talking to you through that clock.
Yeah.
can we see where we have to make a difference? We have to make a difference in the way we read the scriptures.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I thank you. Thank
Amen.
You.
This is why a lot of things in the scriptures are lost. And this is what, where the Most High has to give you discernment. I didn't pick these things up on my own. The Most High had to show me.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And give me the ability to show it to you.
And I thank you for that, too.
Amen.
I thank the Father for that.
Hallelujah.
Because you know what, Brother Miles? Even if I have to say something to somebody, and if I think it's going to hurt their feelings, number one, I'm going to let you know that I love you. And I'm not saying this to be mean.
Amen. And if we're coming from the position of love, because we see the person doing something they ought not be doing, they should be able to accept it from love. Love
yeah.
is not always easy.
No,
love
not.
Is not always easy. It's not always pleasant. You know, is it a pleasant thing to discipline your child when they're doing something wrong?
No, it's not.
But you're doing it because you what? Love them?
Love.
So if they're doing something that is going to hurt them or cause them to go down a wrong path and you discipline them out of love, that's not an easy thing to do. But you still have to do it. And when we get grown, if it's coming from somebody else, then a lot of times we don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Moses was telling, you know, we'll do it from here. Moses, when he killed the Egyptian. Hold on a second. Shalom, I'm still in class. I'll give you a call back as soon as I'm finished. All right, shalom. All right. So what we have to understand is just like when Moses killed the Egyptian, and he did it because the Egyptian was abusing his brother, right?
Correct.
And so he killed him. And then what did that Egyptian man come back and do? Tell him the next day, who made you a ruler over us? Because Moses asked, hey, why y'all fighting each other? Y'all brothers, y'all should be what? Taking care of each other and protecting each other and loving one another. Instead, y'all at each other's throat. Who are you? Are you going to make yourself a judge over us, a prince over us, a king over us, and tell us what to do?
Or slay us like you did to Egypt.
Right. So even when we try to do it amongst our own selves, you know, you can be doing it from a position of love. That don't mean that the people are going to accept it what?
As love.
As love. You need to mind your own business. You can't judge me.
That's pride.
I'm just doing it because I love you. I don't want to see, you know, you come to any hurt or any harm. Just mind your own business. Okay. You won't hear it. You won't accept love. Then when you are in, when it catches up with you, I wonder if you're going to feel the same way too. Because when you see that you need the help, now all of a sudden you want help. And what if I tell you, get away from me?
Mm-hmm.
You better handle that yourself. You know, so this walk is not easy, and it's contrary to our natural nature, because natural nature is self-preservation.
Amen. Pride.
Pride. Self-preservation. Survival. And the Most High says, I want you to be the opposite of that. I want you to care about other people more than you care about yourself.
Amen.
And then, you know, I want you to care about me more than you care about anything.
Amen.
So, you know, we're not into the history portion of this. And, again, I apologize. I'm going to have to go back and restudy these verses to pull out of here.
No. This is a good class. This is a good class. Don't apologize, please.
Amen.
Please don't.
Amen.
Anytime I can learn more of the word of the Father, I appreciate it.
Amen. To Yah be the glory then. To Yah be the glory. We're coming up on 9 minutes to the hour. I got to go out here and dig in the dirt today, hopefully before it gets too hot.
How hot is it in Arizona?
It's in the 90s right now.
Bless your heart.
I think it's supposed to be high today. It's supposed to be 97.
Bless your heart.
Let me look. I think it's supposed to be 97 today.
Mm.
It's going to be a long time before we see 80. This long 90.
Amen, I hear you.
Yesterday with the wind, I think it was 1 degree.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, we ain't going to see 51 for a long time. Those days are over for us right now. So today's high is supposed to be 94. Tonight, the low is going to be 63.
Mm, that's good weather.
That is good weather, ain't it, girl?
Mm-hmm.
And rest of the week we'll be in the 80s with the lows in the 50s for
ooh,
the next 10 days.
Everybody gonna be short song.
Well, you know, like I said, I ended up staying here because it got down to 85 and I was cold. I said, I ain't leaving here now because I know it gets colder than 85 everywhere else. And if it's 85 and I'm cold, something's wrong.
Mm.
But it's relative. You know, when you get used to the heat, what you would say would be a heat storm at 70 or 80, we'd be looking at it like, oh, it's still cool. Yeah, so, yeah, in the 80s, supposed to get back, oh, it's actually supposed to go down Tuesday into the 60s. But then it starts to heat back up. And by the end of that next 10-day forecast, we're headed back toward the 90s. This is the last cool spell we'll have. And then one day, it'll just be over 100. And that's where it'll stay. So while the weather, that's why I'm trying to finish up the stuff that I have outside. Because once this weather gets up, it starts, when it's 95, I'm not trying to be out there. Because, you know, in the direct sunlight, it's overcast today, so that's good. I'm not having the sun beam directly on me because when, you know, I was out there digging and the sunlight was beaming directly on the top of my tennis shoes and the top of my tennis shoes was burning my feet. That's how much they were heating up that bad. But the 80s and then overcast skies, I can get a lot done. And that's where it's going to be the next 10 days at least. So we're finished with the 90s for this stretch. Yesterday was the last day of the 90s. I think yesterday got up to 97, and today was 94. So almost hit 100. But it won't be that way up on the land. Let me get the weather for up there. It's probably still cold, close to the city. So today is 79 there, and 79, but the low is going to be 37.
I'll take the 37.
And then the rest of the week, like Monday is going to be 70, but the low is 39, and then Tuesday will be 50, the low 38, and it's in the 60s, and all the lows are in the 30s. The high 30s, notice I'm in the low 30s too, but it stays a little bit cooler up there longer. But it can actually get really cold because I looked, you know, before, like in February and in January, the temperatures were down in the teens.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't last long.
I can accept that, too, because we've been in zeros and less.
Oh, no, it doesn't. I think the average temperature in that area, let me get that. I had pulled it up before. Let's see. No, it doesn't ever get like that. And you know, it gets some snow, but it doesn't get a lot of snow, and it never lasts more than 1 or 2 days. But you do have to deal with some cold weather. So the average temperature in March is 62 degrees and 29 at night. April is 70 and 35. May is 79 and 43. June is 89 and 52.
I can deal with all of that.
I can deal with that. You're right. I can deal with all that.
And let's see if I go back to January. I know it's a little bit colder, but I know it gets in the teens. Because I looked up, I was like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't go up here at this time because it's just too cold. So I was trying to wait for Passover time. So during Passover, it's a little bit warmer, but it can still get wet cold. December. It just pulls it up. So in December, January average temperature is 49 degrees. The low is 23. That's the average. So you know it can go below 23, but it averages out at 23 degrees at night. And I looked, and there was some nights where I saw it. It was in the, like, 10 degrees. And out of 365 days in the year, they get some type of precipitation 48 days out of the year. The average in the United States is 106 days. Sunshiny days out of 365, 272 days are sunshine. So you get more sunshine than you get anything else. Like in this valley, you get more sunshine than you get anything else, for sure. But I'm also going to put this information on the website. And the day that we went up there is windy, and they have a tendency to have wind. I have two windmills that I bought for electricity, but I bought them even before I bought this land, and I didn't know I was going to use them a different way. So I might take one and experiment with it and put up one to actually create electricity, and one I was going to drive with a motor. But, you know, it was windy when we went up there. So, no, that's not the same St. John's. Closest city, St. John's, Arizona. St. John's, Arizona is about 50 miles from where we bought the land. Between 50 and 75 miles, somewhere in there.
Brother Miles, how far are you from Phoenix, Arizona?
I would be considered in Phoenix. I'm in Peoria, which is like a suburb. It's another little city. So we're about eight miles from downtown Phoenix.
Okay. Because my niece came back to Minnesota for this winter, and she done packed her bag. She's on her way back to Phoenix. She said she can't handle it.
Can't handle Minnesota?
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, after she done been here, that cold there is something else.
It's something else when you've been here for a while.
Yeah, well, you get away from it. I mean, like, you know, I used to take jobs, you know, when I had my IT business and I was installing wireless networks in hotels. And we would go to, like, Wyoming and go to Wyoming in the middle of January. And it'd be like 35 and 40 degrees below zero.
Whoa.
And I was like, ain't no way I want to deal with this all the time. And I knew it from a child, you know, when I used to do that when my father was in the military and we were stationed in Grand Forks, North Dakota, 45 degrees below zero. So I've lived in the weather. But, you know, once I got acclimated to this, there's no way that I would ever want to live anywhere where it got real, real cold. I can deal with this weather, even up in northern Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be out there, you know, most of the time probably if it's in the 40s or the 50s, I'm still going to just have on a regular shirt. Cause I can deal with that. When it's in the teens and it's wet and all that, no, I don't want to deal with that. I ain't got a shovel of sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sister Lorraine, what state do you stay in?
I'm in North Carolina.
Okay.
So we have good weather here. It's not too cold, usually.
Okay. Any place with Minnesota,
yeah,
honey?
No, you might as well say you stay in the Arctic Circle.
I know, in Alaska, huh?
In Alaska, with the Eskimos.
I know. That's why I told them we need some igloos and some dogs and some sleds.
You probably got some people there with them.
Probably.
Yeah,
it ain't like they
don't
need
it. Yeah, Grand Forks, if you look on your map, Grand Forks, North Dakota is 100 miles from the Canadian border. And it got cold there. And y'all got a lot of mosquitoes, too.
Yep.
Because y'all got all that water up there. What, Minnesota's
right.
Like the land of 1,000 lakes or something like that?
That's what they say.
Yeah. I have never seen mosquitoes so big in my life. We went through there. And, like I said, when I first got here to Arizona, I said, I don't know how. It was March the 3rd, and it was 105 degrees. I said, how in the world did anybody stop here and say we need to put a city right here? I would have never stopped and put no city here. Not in the dead of the summer. Now, you got tricked. You got came in here in the winter, the fall and the winter. You can't beat it. But as soon as that summer comes, I'm like, how in the world? And I, you know, told my wife at the time, I told her exactly. I said, hey, ain't no way in hell we staying here. Because this is hell. And it only got hotter.
And then you guys have those dust storms.
I used to love the dust storms.
I bet that's something to see.
It is. You know, something different. It's just dust everywhere. And it can get so bad that, you really can't see in front of you. The biggest one I saw, this is how bad it got. I think we've been here like 5 years, and it hadn't rained but one time.
Mm.
In 5 years. And when I say rain, it was only a couple of drops hit the ground. But you could see the storms trying to come in. They would hit the valley, and you would see them go around the valley, the other side of the mountain. Couldn't come in. It was just too hot. And then all of a sudden, this huge storm came in. And I'm talking about this was a huge storm. I've never seen lightning like this, where the lightning just runs across the sky, and it's just constant, running across the sky, like it was nonstop. Wasn't coming to the ground, just running across the sky. And the whole sky was like I went out in it, and it was like a giant tornado, because the whole... You could see the whole thing spinning. But it was so huge and covered such a wide area, it was crazy. It just snapped power poles down this one street, this street that we had called Glendale, just snapped them all the way down this road like 5 miles. That's how big this storm was. But that's how big it had to be. And it just looked like a wall of dirt. It didn't look like dust. It looked like a wall of dirt coming.
Ooh, I bet that's
and it actually blocked out the sun. So that's the worst one that I've seen. And it lasted like, usually you get one of those dust storms that might last 10 or 15 minutes.
Because,
you know, usually out in front of a thunderstorm. You know, the downdrafts will hit the ground and pick up the dirt, and then the wind just carries it. And once the actual rain gets to you, you know, the dust is gone. But this one, the dust lasted for 3 or 4 hours, the dirt. And then the storm came in behind it. So it was a huge storm. And it hadn't rained in so long that the ground was just, like, hard and the dust was, like, powdery, the dirt.
Ah.
And it just picked it up like it was nothing. That's the worst that I've seen it. Haven't seen one of those. You know, I think even the weather pattern here has changed because it used to get rain at a certain time, and the pattern has changed over the years. So it's not like it was when I first got here. And I think they were in the middle of like a 50-year drought. So, but, you know, there's always, you know, here, not in the valley, but further north where we're going to be at, the humidity is a little bit higher. So the machine that we're talking about getting and drawing water out of the atmosphere, it will always work. Here in the valley, it would work. I think you can pull water out of the atmosphere down to like 5% humidity.
Uh-huh.
But 5% humidity is nothing. When you know, you would never... If it's like that, it can be 110 degrees, and it won't feel like 110 degrees. It'll feel like it's 90 degrees. You just won't know you're cooking. Because it's the humidity that makes you feel, you know, makes you feel miserable. Dry heat, there's a difference between dry heat and humidity.
And humidity.
Yeah, it's a big difference. When you're not sweaty and sticky and all that, and it's just dry, it's more tolerable. But it's more dangerous because you're actually losing water and you don't know it. The air is just sucking it out of you, and it's evaporating as soon as it comes out of your skin. And so you won't, you know, you'll be getting dehydrated and you don't know it. In the desert, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people come here like on vacation, and they're not used to it, and they go hiking, you know, trying to do hikes and stuff like that, and they don't take enough water with them. Yeah, it's been times when they find them dead from the sun. So, yeah, you have to be careful with it. But, you know, that's why I could have bought land in the valley. No way, though. There's no way, because all summer long you can't do anything in the daytime. You know, you got to try to do things at night. You couldn't do it in the daytime. You couldn't be out there trying, you know, and anything that ain't natural to here in this valley, if it's not natural to here, it has a very hard time surviving just because of the heat, the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that anything that I plant outside, I got to stay on top of it, really stay on top of it, and water it religiously every day, probably 2 or 3 times a day, because the sun just sucks, you know, will suck that kind of moisture out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You miss, and you go out there, and it's just dried up, and it ain't coming back. That's the heat in the valley. Like I said, further north, it's not, it doesn't get like it gets here. So, you know, they had a lot of land in the valley further west in the desert, cheap, like 10,000 acres for $10,000. That's like $1 an acre. You got to know there's something wrong then.
Right.
And I looked at that, I said, ain't no way. No way that I would ever buy this, because you never would get the chance to enjoy it. And how they made the Indians stay on this stuff, yeah, I know. They did them wrong. They did the Indians. They did us wrong. They did these Indians super wrong.
Yes, they do.
So that's the kind of land that they gave them. No water, 110, 15, 20 degree heat, and said live there. And I was like, no. Need to go someplace else. And I looked all over the U.S. Looked in Kansas, looked in Wyoming, looked in Montana. I would rather put up with some heat than the snow anytime, though. Than deep snow and sub-freezing, sub-zero temperatures. Now, y'all can have that.
Yeah, because when it gets cold, it's off your bones.
Yeah. I mean, you can't put on enough clothes.
Nope.
So, no, I did not want any land like that. And I thought about, you know, something close to the coast. Again, every place got it. It's got its issues, like y'all dealing with the extreme cold up there.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the middle of the country, then you're dealing with thunderstorms and, tornadoes.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the south, you're dealing with thunderstorm and tornadoes, and then you're dealing with hurricanes.
Yeah.
And a thunderstorm here in the valley for something, you get a thunderstorm from the heat. But then you go north, you know, you get some storms, but you don't get the extremes. And that's the reason why I bought the land where I bought it at. There's no extremes. And that's what's important, especially the older you get.
Say it,
Body
bro.
Just don't respond to that stuff the same way.
No, it don't.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so no, I didn't want any extremes. Wanted to be, you know, where can deal with 99% of the time deal with the weather, be out in it, you know, even if it was storming, or if it, you know, if you're going through a bad bout of weather, it's not anything to the extreme, because everything is relative. Where you're at, you know, what somebody might consider a bad storm up there, you go someplace else to be like, that's just a little breeze blowing through. There's some clouds dropping something, but, you know, so everything is relative. And I've lived some of everywhere, so I, you know, I have experience with different extremes. I know what the extreme cold looks like. I know what the extreme heat looks like. I know what it's like to live in Tornado Alley. Every time a thunderstorm comes up, you're in fear that there's going to be a tornado. Learn to read the sky to even tell when a tornado was coming. And then I lived in, when I was in Florida. Florida is the lightning capital of the world. A lot of people don't know that.
When it could be a cool shot. I love
the ocean. I love big bodies of water, and I love the ocean, and I love the fish. I love the saltwater fish. I don't really love the freshwater fish, but I'll freshwater fish. But I love the ocean. But Tampa, I remember I'm walking from, I was a young man, and I was walking from the dorm to the rec center, and it was a clear sky. I mean, not a cloud in the sky, nowhere. And I walked up under this palm tree, and the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and it said, boom! Exploded the top of this palm tree, and it was heat lightning. Just blew up the top of this tree that I was just walking up under. Scared me to death. And then I found out,
I didn't particularly care for Florida.
Yeah, I like Florida, but I could not live there. I couldn't live there because, well, when I always thought I would go back to Florida and retire there. But when I went back to Florida, you know, in my older age, it just was not the same to me. Didn't appeal to me like it did when I was younger. But, yeah, you can get hurricanes. You can get the water spout. But, you know, the biggest thing for me in Florida was the lightning. Because it takes more lightning strikes than anywhere. So I was like, nah, I don't think so. Love to be out there fishing. I used to go out way out in little small boat, just, you know, stupid. Mm-hmm. And I have to say stupid. Mm-hmm. It'd be out 5 and 6 miles out in the ocean or out in the Tampa Bay, and the waves could get up to 20 or 30 feet. That little boat could have just been sunk. I've seen things swim up under the boat that were bigger than the boat.
Uh-uh.
But we would be out there. And, I was just never afraid. I've been out there on Tampa Bay when a fog would roll in, and it would be clear when you go out, and then all of a sudden you just see these clouds come from the sky down to the top of the ocean, and you can come down, and then you can't see nothing. You can't see land. You can't see nothing. And if you don't have a good sense of direction, and the brothers I was fishing with, they did not have a good sense of direction. Once they couldn't see it with their eyes, they couldn't tell which way they were going. They couldn't read the sun. You could see the sun, you know, like through the clouds. You wouldn't get hit by the sun, but you could just see the sun shining that like a little ball. But I could read the sun. I said, we need to go this way. Other than that, we would be so far out that we couldn't see land. And so you start going the wrong way, you end up going further out away from land than you do toward the land. And then let the wind pick up, now you're in trouble. And we've been out, you know, we were out there a couple of times like that. And I said, you know, you're just stupid for even being out here. But I kind of loved it too. But that's when I, you know, I just had no fear of it. Now I wouldn't do that. Couldn't pay me to do it. And I've been out 65 and 70 miles on big boats that were, 60 and 70 feet long. And these boats would go down in a wave, and you couldn't see nothing but water on both sides. And it come up out of that wave. And I'm like, these waves got to be 20 or 30 feet tall. And if a rogue wave hit you, it could have, flipped the boat over? This big boat.
Yeah.
It hit it the wrong way, and it flipped the boat over. But, you know, I just love the water that much. I never got seasick. Matter of fact, I mean, I used to say that we used to do some dirty stuff because we knew most people couldn't stand that kind of water. And we would, you know, get them to go on these fishing trips because we needed help financing them. Because to go out that far is not cheap. And you take about 21 people, you know, to justify getting a boat that big. And we know we get 21 people, only 4 of us going to be fishing. The rest of them going to be sick as a dog. And that would usually be what would happen. And we would, you know, play like we're so sorry for them, but we knew what was going to happen before we went. But then you had those people that were just tough. They'd be drinking beer, throwing up, and fishing. Every time they throw up, they drink some more beer because they don't want to have dry heaves. So, yeah, just crazy times. So, you know, living in a lot of different places, being exposed to a lot of different things, I'm pleased with the land that we're purchasing. I'm pleased with the weather. I'm pleased with the type of soil. It's just good all the way around. And we should do real well there. And we're far enough to where if somebody was trying to find us, they really would have to be trying to find us. Not going to do it by accident. Or they could come across you by accident, but they really, you know, it's wilderness. And that's one of the things most I stipulated that, you know, it couldn't be, you know, it had to be raw land. So that's what we went and got. And I'm going to try to make it up there sometime next month. Wanted to try to bring you guys in, but I don't think it's going to happen right now. They'll try to make it up there next month when it gets a little bit warmer.
You better try for May.
I will look at it. I don't want to get up there. You know, I actually do want to see. I did really want to make it up there in February because I wanted to see, you know, what the extreme was as far as the cold. So I can say, yeah, I know this is how it is. I know how cold weather is, but, you know, sometimes you can look at something and it can just fool you. And I wanted to go up there because I know that it does, you know, it is windy up there. It was windy when I was there. And the wind blows a lot more than it does in this valley.
Yeah.
So, you know, cold and wind don't mix either.
No.
You know, that makes the wind chill factor, what, drop down 10 degrees or whatever, however many miles an hour?
However miles an hour the wind is blowing.
Yeah. So if it's 1 degree for every mile, and it, you know, it's 15-mile-an-hour winds, and it's 40 degrees. Now it's going to be, what, 30 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
The wind chill factor. So I wanted to really see it, you know, and experience it like that. But I didn't get a chance to go up there. And I knew I do want to, no matter what, celebrating the feast days there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to see how the weather's going to be, you know, around the time of Passover. Then I know, you know, how to prepare.
Right.
Not just saying, oh, I'm looking at the weather report, it's like this. It's nothing like actually really feeling it yourself. And I wanted to be there when it rained because I wanted to see the way the water, you know, you can sort of tell the way the water runs, but then it's nothing like being there and saying, oh, the water runs this way, but it actually pools over here. This is a natural floodplain, and it may not be identified. And so I wanted to see those things so that I can say, okay, I know we're not going to be putting any houses right there or any type of any living quarters right there because it's a natural floodplain, so forth and so on. But you have to be there and actually see it. So I wanted to be there when it was actually raining as well, just to see how the water flows and how it drains and if there was going to be anything that needs to be done to, you know, change the flow, because there is part of the land we up higher. It's like in levels and you know, because it's up, it's in the mountains. But part of the land is higher than other parts, and then you got some parts that are up higher than us, so they will drain down toward us. And then the land that we're on drains down, you know, to the lower parts. And so I was trying to, when I was walking the land, looking for, you know, the natural drain, the marks that you see where the water drains at. You can actually see it. You know, if you look at it far off or if you're looking for it and know what you're looking at, then when it last rained, this is how the water drained and this is the direction it drained in. And I could, you know, I could see some of that, but I also wanted to actually be there and say, okay, because where it may flood at may not be that as evident as, you know, the water drains this way, but here's a depression that you can't really see. So when it's finished raining, there's standing water right here. That type of thing. But, you know, I'm going to make it up there. I want to spend, I'm going to actually camp out on the land. All right, so we're at 10:30. No other questions, but I need to actually get out here while it's overcast. I got like 8 holes to dig, and the ground is like cement. I'm going to start, and I'm going to wet it. But I'm trying not to wet it because the way that I built these trellises, I built them so that the ground is kind of supporting them. And
right.
The ground is how they're anchored, and I'm sure when it rains, they will get a little loose. But once, you know, the rain stops or whatever, the ground will harden back up. They won't go anywhere. The wind won't blow them away or anything like that. But I didn't want to weaken them any kind of way right now. So I would probably start these holes, put water in the holes, and let it soak in, and then go back out later and actually dig out where it's soaked in, because it'll make, you know, soften the ground some. But I'm digging these holes, and I'll send you guys pictures. I put up these trellises for all of the plants, you know, that were growing that actually vine out, like the watermelon and the cantaloupe and certain squashes. Anything that I'm growing, I think it's like 5 or 6 plants that I'm growing that actually they run on vines, and didn't want to put them inside of the outside sunroom because before when I grew watermelon in there, it like tried to take over, and the squash tried to take over. They just want to run forever. So I put them on the outside, and I built trellises for them to crawl up and down. And I have to train the plants, you know, to crawl. When they start crawling off the trellis, turn them around and make them crawl another direction on the trellis. But anything that's going to run, I'm going to grow it outside of that sunroom. And then anything that doesn't run, that bushes and things like that, like some of the squash grows in a bush form rather than a vine. Then I'll put them inside of there, tomatoes and some other things that I want to grow inside of there. But anything like the cantaloupe and the melons and everything like that, the cucumbers, they all like to, you know, grow long vines. So I built trellises for them to run on. And hopefully, you know, the trellis is going to once the vine covers it up, then it'll provide its own shade for the reservoir, because I'm not growing these out of the ground. I'm going to grow them hydroponically, but I'm not doing them like I did the one on the wall where I have a pump pumping the water. These will just be stationary, a big reservoir that holds the water, and the plant will be in that, and I just keep filling it up with the nutrients from there. The system that I'm using. But I wanted to put the reservoirs down in the ground so that they don't get hit directly by the sun. I'll paint them black, but they won't get hit directly by the sun, so they don't. It'll slow down on the evaporation, and it will slow down any type of algae growth and stuff like that. So I have to dig the holes to put them in, and that's what I was doing. Then I'll paint the reservoirs black, so that, you know, no sunlight. I go out like a dummy. I didn't know at the time, though. I didn't buy clear containers, but they're kind of clear. And so the sunlight in the water, the algae will just grow. It's already there. It'll blow in and just grow. But if no light will go through there, no algae will grow. So I painted the other hydroponic system that I had outside that we were growing the strawberries in. I painted the reservoir on it black, and, you know, and then put covers on it so that no sunlight goes through. And so far, no algae has been growing because the algae would already be there even now. So I did that, and these systems, I am going to have to run electricity there because the reservoirs need you need to oxygenate the water, the grow medium. So I will have to put, you know, I got an air pump that has like that can do 16 nozzles, so I can run 16 different hoses off of it, so that it run the oxygen to these to these tanks. So I got to do that work before it gets too hot. Because once it gets too hot, sorry, but when it gets too hot, I can go out there and work maybe an hour, and I'm done literally for the day. Because it'll just take all your energy from you.
Yeah. Brother Miles.
Yes, ma'am.
When you send out those kits, let me know when you send them, because people are stealing people's packages here, so I can be on the lookout for it.
I will do that. I haven't mailed
okay,
them yet. But when I do,
okay.
I will let you know so you can be on the lookout for it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, amen. So I want you to walk down the street. They didn't open up the package and say, what the heck is this? And they just throw it on the ground.
Yeah, because they opened a lady's package and took her merchandise out and left the box sitting on the stoop and throwed all the, you know, how you wrap the package up with those bubble wraps and had to throw it all in the yard and stuff. It was just a mess.
Yeah, then people are getting desperate, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will
yeah,
let you know so that you can be on the lookout for it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll let you know for sure. Give you a heads up. It's in the mail, and I'll let you know, approximately what day it should be arriving.
Okay.
That
thank
way you'll
you.
Know.
You're
thank welcome.
You.
Yeah, I just got so much to do here. And I really shouldn't even be, like I said, I'm feeling guilty right now because I shouldn't even be sitting here right now. I need to get up and get doing what I need to be doing because I'm a little bit behind the power curve on what
you
I'm
get
supposed
on
to
up,
be doing.
Brother Miles. Stop talking
to me. I am. Thank you. Go ahead and just pull my seat from under me. Get out of here. Yeah, I need to do that. I need to actually harvest the microgreens today too. I think they've grown.
You have a lot to do, brother.
Yeah, I do. And the thing is, some of the things I just need to do them and get them done, and then some of the things are going to be ongoing. So this physical labor. Digging these holes, like I said, I'll dig one hole and then I got to come in and take a break out of the heat and then go back out there and dig another one. I have done six holes. I got another eight to dig, but it's taken me about an hour a hole to actually dig them. So I just need to go ahead and get it done because, like I said, once it gets too hot, it ain't going to happen. So while it's not real hot and I can get the stuff in the ground and in place, I need to go ahead and get it done because the weather's not going to cooperate with me that much longer.
Meh.
And I just need to get it done. And, I know what I need to do, so, yeah. So let's pray out and let me have Sister Denise pray us out, please.
Okay. Father God, thank you for this meeting. Thank you, Father, because I really enjoy, I learned a lot. Thank you, Father. And Lord, thank you for all you do for all of us. In your son's precious Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. We're going to meet again on Tuesday for the newcomers class. Of course, if you have any questions in your studies, I will still try to come up with the questions to send out to ask you guys. I sent them out for the, you should have already had those questions already as part of your study guide. So if you're doing those study guides for the newcomers class, then you already have the questions. But there's other people that don't attend the class, and I don't send them the actual study guide, but when I send out the questions, they will do the questions. But as far as our, like these studies and things like this, I have to actually sit down and go back through the material and say, okay, let me ask this question, let me ask that question. And so I'll do that to give you something to research into while you're studying. I just have to have the time to do it. So we'll meet on Tuesday in newcomers class. And, of course, if you got any questions, having any issues, you know where I'm at, text, call, do whatever. If I don't pick up right away, then, I typically do not carry my phone with me. So if I'm out in the yard, my phone is in here, I'll see it when I come back in. A lot of people get on me for that. I'm like, sorry, but I don't like to be weighed down, and my phone doesn't do good in the heat. So I'll go out there. It may be an hour before I get back with you, but I will get back with you. All right. So, if you need anything, just let me know. And may the Most High bless you all. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, and I haven't met with the insurance guy yet. Supposed to be meeting with him so I can see what this is going to cost. Hopefully it's not going to be outrageous because, you know, all of us are up in age. So they might be talking some crazy fees, and I'll have to look at it and say, okay, how can we pull this off? But I haven't talked to him yet to get the pricing for the whole life insurance and that kind of stuff so that we can take advantage of that. But we're still going to be, you know, looking at heading down that road because it is the quickest way to get the type of money that we're going to be needing.
Amen.
Amen. So.
Amen.
As soon as I get to talk to him and I get the information and I get the pricing, I might have to say, hey, we're going to do one person at a time. And, you know, the money will go toward that. And then when we are able to draw off of that policy, then we will draw off of that policy and then do it with a second one and pay it out of, you know, part of the funds that we pull out of the policy itself. You know, may have to kind of rob Peter to pay Paul in a way. But we'll make it work. So as soon as I have a chance to meet with him and get the pricing so I can make some realistic plans, then I'll let you guys know.
Okay,
all right.
All right.
All right. So be blessed and stay safe. And I will see you guys on Tuesday night.
Okay, brother.
Amen. All
amen.
Right.
Amen.
Shalom, family. Peace and blessings. Shalom. Love you all. I really do.
Shalom.
Love spending time with you, too. That's why it's hard to hang up.
We love you, too, brother. Yes, we do.
All right. Amen. All right. Shalom.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
You, there's no need.